Welcome to Noble Assembly of God. So glad to worship with you this morning. How many of you came ready to worship? Come on. Come on. This is a beautiful day to worship the Lord. And so we're going to join together in song and singing. We're going to join together in prayer today. We'll join together as we hear a challenging message from Pastor. But let's start by just standing this morning. Let's stand in the house of the Lord and let's go to the Lord in prayer. And so glad that each and every one of you are here. And pray that the Lord would minister to you today, that you wouldn't leave the same as you came. I think that's a great pursuit, to not leave the same as we came. So, Lord, we ask right now that you would be in this place. We ask, Lord, that you would touch each and every person who's here. We pray, Lord, that no matter what we came in with, Lord, may you take it. And may you be the answer to every need we have. Lord, we know that though the things around us may seem like they're impossible, nothing is impossible for you. And so, Lord, we lift up your name today, we praise you today, and we ask that everything we do would bring honor and glory to you. We ask right now that you would just allow us to open our hearts to receive from you today, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Let's go into worship.
Thank you. increase our faith. I know in this time that we're going through that we need a little bit more. So one thing I did want to say, this is Pastor Appreciation Month, and we have the tubs out front, and I know some of you have already brought food, and that's awesome. We want to bless our pastors. We're going to give them to them next Sunday morning during service. And if you were curious, I have a lot of people ask, what do they like to eat? We do have some sheets back there. They'll give you an idea of something that you can purchase for them. But just help us bless them in a way. I know that they've really impacted my life and my family's life, and we just want to bless them and let them know how much we love and appreciate them.
Father, I see that you are drawing a line in the sand. I want to be standing by your side, holding your hand. So let your kingdom come, let it live in me. This is my prayer, this is my plea. So Father, I see that you are drawing a line in the sand. I want to be standing by your side, holding your hand. So let your kingdom come, let it live in me. This is my prayer, this is my plea. Let the worshipers rise, let the sons and the daughters see. I'm surrendering my
surrendering it all to you. Father, we know that you are drawing a line in the sand, and we want to be on the right side. We want to be on your side. So Father, hear our cry and fill our hearts with you to where we stand firm. We stand firm in your word and in your will, Lord Jesus. Start a fire in our lives, Lord, that just can't be put out. And keep our eyes focused on you, Jesus. We just praise you for that, Lord.
If the altar's where you meet us, take me there, take me there. What you need is just an offering. It's right here, my life is here, and I'll be a living sacrifice for you. tried by fire. Purify, you take whatever you desire. Lord, here's my life. I want to be tried by fire. Purify, you take whatever you desire. Lord, here's my life. If your glory wants to come here, let it fall. We want it all. Your fire is consuming. Fill this place, set it ablaze, and I'll be a living sacrifice for you. You're a fire, the refiner. Set on fire for you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. There's no place we'd rather be, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. There's no place I would rather be. There's no place I would rather be. There's no place I would rather be. No place I would rather be, Jesus. There's no place I would rather be than here in your love, here in your love. So set a fire down in my soul.
Is that where you're at today, church? There's no place you would rather be than in God's love. Man, may that be the song of our spirit, that even in the darkest of times, even in the moments when things aren't going exactly how they should, even the moments of uncertainty or question or whatever, I mean, even more so, shouldn't our song be, there's no place I would rather be than here in your love? How many times has the Lord's love, the Lord's faithfulness, the Lord's encouragement carried you through when you couldn't get there by yourself? Man, may that be the song of our, I was just thinking of that as we were singing it. I was thinking, man, how many times have we come up here and we've prayed over prayer requests, as we're going to do here in just a moment, and I'm thinking, even in the midst of all these people's circumstances, there's no place they ought to rather be than in God's love, in God's hands. How many times have we prayed, God, I don't know what to do, but I'm going to put it in your hands and I'm going to trust, because there's no better place for it to be than in his hands. And so this morning I give you a few prayer requests. Ansel Mundon's family, he has a relative who has the virus and is in the hospital. They found out that she has a blood clot in her stomach. And so they need the touch of the Lord there. Jessica Lance's family, Jessica lost her grandpa this week. And we just need the Lord to comfort that family in a time of loss. And her grandmother, this is the grandpa, this is the wife, also has the virus. And so we're praying for her, that the Lord would continue to touch her. I want to pray for Rhoda McCarty. Miss Rhoda, if you're listening today, we love you and we're praying for you. She's still very weak, and we're praying the Lord would give her strength. Come on, how many know the Lord can give us strength? Amen. So Rhoda, we're praying for you, that the Lord would give you supernatural strength and help you to get back here to worship with us in person. I want to pray for Shelley Tyler's family today. She had a cousin, and the cousin's baby tragically passed away this week. And so they need the comfort of the Lord in a time of question, in a time of sorrow. May the Lord sweep in and comfort that family. I want to pray for Christian Shores' grandpa. He has the virus, and they're concerned about the uncle that lives with him. Anytime someone gets the virus, there's always concern of who else lives with, you know, in that household also. How many of you right now, how many of you know somebody who's struggling with the virus right now? Amen. Man, it'd be okay with you today if we just speak against that virus. We just speak against not only the physical part of the virus, but the actual, the Bible says, let me just say this. Maybe this encourage you a little bit. The Bible says that we do not war against flesh and blood, but we war against principalities and powers. This is a spirit of sickness, a spirit of illness. And yes, there's a physical nature to it. I'm not denying medical, all right? That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is this. There's a spirit of oppression. There's a spirit of depression that comes along. There's a spirit of fear. There's a spirit that comes along with all of this. And I want to speak against that today. Would that be okay? So let's join together, Lord. Oh, before we do that, I also want to pray. I want to pray for my little sweet Ava. I want to pray for Ava today, who's struggling with a little bit of blurred vision. They're evaluating her eyes right now. I know the Lord can reach down and touch her and give her perfect vision. All right, so join with me, Lord. I lift up these prayer needs, and Lord, I pray right now for Ansel Mundon's family. I pray, Lord, against this virus. I pray against this blood clot. Lord, I pray, Lord, for Jessica Lance's family, who they've lost a grandpa, they've lost a loved one. Lord, I pray you would be with them. I pray for Shelley Tyler's family, who's also lost two loved ones. Lord, would you be there in times of sorrow? Would you be there in times of loss? Lord, I pray for Rhoda McCarty today, my special friend. I pray you would lift her up, and while she's weak right now, we pray that you would supernaturally give her strength. Lord, we pray for Kristen Shortis's grandpa and the uncle that lives with him. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would give them healing and strength. Lord, I pray for little Ava today. I pray you would touch those eyes. I pray, Lord, that no, there would be no blurred vision. There would be no bacteria. There would be no infection. There would be no disease. But, Lord, there would be perfect healing, perfect vision, 20/20 vision, Lord, for that sweet little girl. Lord, I pray right now, I speak against the spirit of oppression. I speak against the spirit of depression. I speak against the spirit of fear. Lord, I speak against those things that would come against all people, but especially against God's people. And Lord, I pray right now that you would lift those up who have the virus right now and make them well. Lord, your word says that by your stripes they may be made well. And so we put our faith and our hope and our trust in you. And Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You can be seated this morning in the house of the Lord. Amen. Thank you, worship team, for all that you do. Appreciate it. And man, it's just, I love being at church. I love being in the house of the Lord. There's just no... Man, sometimes you come in and you feel like maybe you don't have the energy. Maybe you feel like, man, the weakest has wore you down. And here it is, meeting together as believers and energizing together. And want to thank you for being here today. If you're a visitor, there's a card that looks just like this. It says, "We're glad you're here," and it's in the seat back in front of you. If you would take that card out and just fill it, it just gives us a record of your attendance. It just tells us you came and visited with us today, and that will help us to know who came and hung out with us. And so if you could do that, and then you just place it in the offering bag that's going to pass in just a little bit. And we appreciate you for being here. We appreciate you for helping us with that. This past week and the last couple of days, our youth have been at youth convention, and I want to thank those of you that supported that and helped us get there. We had a wonderful time. They changed how we usually do it. I made some changes to it. Normally, it's indoors and all of that because of social distancing and trying to help people stay well and all that. We did an outdoor, they called it Youth Fest, and had an outdoor stadium. We even had to carry in our own lawn chair. And if you wanted a blanket, yes, amen, thank you. Anybody remember Friday night? Mm-hmm, yep. Pastor Popsicle over here, it was freezing out there. And I just kept saying to myself, it's all unto you, Lord, unto you. So, and I kept looking at the food truck over there going, I'm going to have barbecue in a minute. So, but we had a wonderful time, 600 young people meeting together, worshiping the Lord, being challenged to serve the Lord in a greater and meaningful way. And we had a wonderful time, just awesome, sitting in the services, had my lawn chair, wrapped up my blanket, nice and comfy. And as you look across and see pastors, you see during the altar call, young people raising their hands to give their heart to Jesus the first night, and then on the second day, yesterday, when the speaker gave a challenge to just commit your life in a more meaningful way, to really get serious, to be, as the speaker said, all in, to be all in for Jesus, and watch these young people, hundreds of them, stand from their seats and say, I'm all in, I'm all in. How many of you know we need more young people, we need more people in general that say, I'm all in for Jesus, amen? Amen. And so we had a great time. We had a great time, and I would ask you to add me to your prayer list, because if I eat like I did at Youth Fest, it doesn't matter how much I run, I am going to gain weight. So I wish somebody had told me beforehand that just because there's three food trucks, Pastor, didn't mean you have to eat at all three. I was just trying to be supportive, you know. Yeah, you think I'm kidding, but I actually did get food from all three food trucks. So it was so good. It was so good until I tried to go to sleep. So Anyway, we have a few announcements for you this morning. First of all, just want to remind you again, we still have a few questions going about our service schedule and things of that nature. Our Wednesday services have begun back. We started this last Wednesday, and we will continue our Wednesday adult service, Rural Rangers, Girls Ministry, Youth Service. Every Wednesday, we're doing that. Our Sunday, all of our Sunday stuff besides our Sunday morning service, such as Sunday school, Sunday evening services, connect groups, they all begin November 1st, all right? So we still got a couple of weeks before all the extra Sunday stuff begins. But Wednesdays, we'd love to see you. We had a great group here in the sanctuary. I saw the girls' ministry had girls back there. Rangers were, I don't know, were y'all shooting BBs or something? I don't know. I try to stay away from the Rangers. They knives and guns, and I don't know what's happening back there. So I'd lose an eye if I was in the Rangers. So instead, I went out by the fire and the s'mores, which they also did not put me in charge of, but I did get a s'more. We had s'mores. So there's a lot of great things happening on Wednesday nights. Love for you to come and join us. It's 7 o'clock for the youth. 6:30, we start a pre-service and hang out. And so we'd love for you to be here and be a part of that. In just a week and a half, Pastor, we have our Hallelujah Night outreach. It is our outreach we do every year in a substitute for Halloween. It is a way for our community to get up off the streets and come in here into a safe environment. This year we're expanding. We're putting all of our games in the sanctuary as long as weather permits. We're going to put our inflatables out in this near parking lot out here and mark it off so cars can't come through. And then over in the youth kids room will be some other things, face painting and the cakewalk and some other things. And so we're trying to spread it out a little bit. Had a lot of people in the community texting me, asking me, messaging me, saying, hey, are you still doing it? And very excited about us doing it. So here's the deal. Your part is this. We need some help. First of all, it's a week from this Wednesday. A week from this Wednesday on the 20th, is that the 28th? You're really making me think here. The 28th, we will be setting up, all right? So we will set up everything on that Wednesday night. And on the 29th, that Thursday, is the Hallelujah Night Outreach. We need people that would be willing to donate candy. There's a bucket out there. Be willing to donate some of the supplies. We do nachos and hot dogs and stuff like that. And then we'd love for you to come help. All right. We try to assign somebody. You could do games. You could help us with the inflatables. You could help face paint. You can help. But most of all, what we really want you to do more than anything, no matter what job you have that night, is just show the love of Jesus to our community. That's the number one job. And so we really need some help. And so if you would be willing to do that, even if you like, I help every year, you know, I'm going to come. Well, we don't want to assume anything, so if you're going to come, it would help us if you would sign up on the sign up out there so we can start to see the kind of numbers we have, and so that way it'll help us to know how many booths we can set up, because we don't want to set up more than we can man. We've tried that before. That was not good. That was not good. That's in the list of ideas I've had for youth ministry that didn't work out. We're not going to talk about those in front of Pastor. All right, so I think that's all the announcements I have, and we're glad to have a missionary here today, but Pastor Steve's going to come and introduce her.
Audra, thank you for being with us today. I'm amazed how the Lord puts together and inspires a service, right down from the worship songs that Michelle chose to some of the statements that Audra made in her talking about her ministry, just dovetails right in with the message this morning. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 40 in verse 8. I appreciate her telling about her calling, because that's what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to spend a few minutes talking about the subject of calling. The Lord has a calling on our lives. Amen. Psalm 40 in verse 8 says, I take joy in doing your will, my God, for your instructions are written on my heart. I take joy in doing your will. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word today. I pray that you would just bless and guide and direct in this message. We pray, Father God, that you would just anoint our ears and our hearts and our minds to what you would say to us. Let us be obedient and let us find the place of our service and ministry for you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. The message is titled, My Calling Is. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about water baptism is. Last week, we talked about communion is. Today, my calling is. And the King James Version of that verse says, I delight to do thy will, O God, yea, thy law is within my heart. And you know, that's the heart of a true follower of Christ, is we delight or we take joy in doing God's will. The Lord has done something in our hearts, in our lives. He's changed our minds. He's changed our desires in our hearts. And so now we delight to want to follow his will for our life. We want to do what the Lord wants us to do, regardless of how tough it might be, because where God guides, he provides. Amen. He will provide the strength. He will provide the ability. He will provide the resources and all that is needed if we lean on and we look to him. Amen. Amen. I know when the Lord first called me to preach, I talked about that last Sunday. I thought, I don't know that I can do this. Lord, I'm not comfortable getting up in front of people and talking. Now you can look at my brother Roger. He's much more comfortable at doing that. But no, Lord, I am not your man. I think you picked the wrong person to go into the ministry because I'm really pretty kind of a shy guy. But God, he knows what he's doing, amen? And so for the last 40 plus years, I have been endeavoring to follow his call upon my life. But here's the thing. God has a calling. Hello. Here we go. All right. I want to tell you this. God even has a calling and an assignment upon those who are not believers yet. You know that? God has a calling, a purpose, and a plan for every single person, whether they're a believer or not. If they're not a believer yet, their calling and their assignment is sort of like on the shelf, waiting for them to come and experience salvation and then do what God has called them to do. I'm so glad of people that I think back a few years ago, they weren't believers. And now after they come to Christ, all the things that the Lord is allowing them to do and ministries they're serving in and ways that God is using them. So there are future pastors, there are future leaders and Royal Ranger commanders and youth sponsors and prayer warriors and greeters and singers and musicians and all the things outside these walls. Outside these walls are people who could be used greatly in the kingdom of God and in the church. That's why we as a church need to reach our community. That's why we need to be telling people about the Lord. Your neighbor might be somebody that the Lord has a great calling upon their heart and life to be an outstanding teacher or an outstanding leader. But if you'll reach them, they'll get to that point. So God has a kingdom and a purpose and a plan for everyone, and he wants them to come into to knowing him as Savior and then delighting to do his will. So that leads to, I've got 3 points to the message this morning. That leads to point number one. Number one, all are called. All are called. God has a calling upon every purpose, upon every person. Now, number one, there's a main call. And that is salvation. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 says, the Lord isn't really slow about his promise, as some people think. He is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. God wants everyone to repent. And so the main call upon every person in this world is the answer, the call to salvation. How many of you are thankful that you answered that call? You've got Jesus in your heart. Your name's written down in heaven, and you are on your way there at a point when the Lord calls us home. So the main call is salvation. After that, and Audra mentioned this, there's a general call, a call to obedience, a call to obey the Lord, and that brings blessing. I think of the scripture in Micah 6:8 that says, the kind of the general call for all of us. It says, "Know, O people, the Lord has told you what is good, and this is what he requires of you, to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." The King James talks about it, to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with the Lord. That's a general call for every believer, a call that brings obedience. However, then there's a specific call, and that's what Audra mentioned in her testimony to us. And this is related to the specific function that a believer has in the body of Christ. Here's what the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. He said, "Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other." So just as our body has many parts, and each one of the parts of our body has a function, so it is with Christ's body. Each of you have a function. Each of you are a part of the body of Christ. We're all the body, and we all have a function. The gifts and callings, or these functions, are distributed by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 11 says, "It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have." And so the Lord decides what our gifts are and what our talents are. And so if you don't like your gift or talent, take it up with him. Say, "Lord, why didn't you do this? And why didn't you allow me to do that?" You know what? The Lord does it right. He knows who you are, how you are. He wired you the way he wanted to wire you. And he put gifts and talents in your future. And so we just need to discover those, what our part is in the body of Christ. And that leads to this: why are we called? It's because, secondly, all are ministers. Everybody here that's a believer is a minister. I've said many times our church body doesn't have three ministers, but it has over 200. We have three pastors, and you are always so good to recognize us on Pastor Appreciation Day and Month, as Michelle talked about earlier, and that is so awesome, and we so appreciate that. But there are many, many ministers in this church. The word minister actually means to serve. Everyone should be eager to serve and eager to find out what their part is, what their function is, what their gifting or their calling is in the body of Christ. And the Bible gives us some lists of various giftings and ministries. And so I want us to look at those. I'm going to share with you three scripture passages. Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. Says, "In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly." And then over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he gives some further listing of gifts in verses 4 through 11. Says, "There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another, and to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. And then in verse 27, he says, all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Here are some of the parts God has appointed for the church. First are apostles, second are prophets, third are teachers, then those who do miracles, those who have gift of healing, those who can help others, those who have the gift of leadership, those who speak in unknown languages. Are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Do we all have the power to do miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages? Of course not. So you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. And then in the book of Ephesians, Paul gives us some other listing of gifts. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 says, however, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. That is why the scriptures say, when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. Notice that it says he ascended. This clearly means that Christ also descended to our lowly world. And the same one who descended is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens so that he might fill the entire universe with himself. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son, and we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Amen. I know those were a lot of verses, but there's a lot of gifts that's spelled out in there. And I think we can gather from those verses that it is God's will that all of us find our place, find our function in the body of Christ, and that we faithfully serve in that way. Because remember, God has a specific call for every single one of us. Now, we do believe that there are some the Lord calls to what we might call full-time vocational ministries, like pastors and evangelists. Much like in the Old Testament, there was a tribe of Levi. Remember, there were 12 tribes of Israel, and one was the tribe of Levi, and their assignments was different than the others. They were the ones who ministered, who went before the Lord and led in worship, and so they functioned differently. The Assemblies of God, in their doctrinal statement, has one of the 16 fundamental truths of the Assemblies of God in our statement. It talks about a God-ordained ministry where people are set apart for the purpose of preaching and teaching and leading. However, that does not exempt the rest of the church from finding their call, from finding their place to serve in the body of Christ. Some people say, well, we have a preacher and we pay him to do the preaching and the teaching and the leading, and we just sit back. That's not a healthy church. Everybody needs to find their place, find their gifting, say, God, what do you want me to do? How can I serve? How can I function in the body of Christ? Which leads to my third point. And that is, are you fulfilling your call? Are you fulfilling your call? You say, how do I do that? How how do I know what my call is? Well, I'm going to give you about eight helps that are going to help you in trying to find your call and find your place in the body of Christ. Because if you say, I don't have a call, I don't have a gift, the Lord didn't give me any, then you're calling the Lord a liar. Because he said every person has been given a gift. And so everybody, we just have to find it and begin to function. So let me give you these eight ways that we can give us some help on finding what our particular call is. Number one, and probably the most important, seek the Lord about it. Pray. The Bible says if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, any man who lacks wisdom, and God will help. If you're lacking wisdom and knowledge just about what you should do, pray. God wants to answer your prayer. Begin praying. Say, Lord, I don't know what my gift is. You know, I've started attending this church here in Noble, and I pretty much like the people there, and the pastor, well, he's okay, you know, and the associate, he's okay, you know. Pastor's on his phone there now. I don't know what my calling, though, is, Lord. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Begin praying. Say, Lord, I want to fulfill the call for my life. So ask the Lord about it. Number two, what gifts and talents do you already have that the Lord has given you? Assess your strength. Assess what you've already been given and kind of how you're wired. If you're a real introvert and you have trouble meeting people, you might not want to be a greeter. You know, that might not be where your calling is. It might be in a leadership position. It might be helping with an office or doing something or a prayer time. But assess your strengths. Like I said, God wired us all a certain way. It's not to say that if you are shy, that you can't do that. Like I always said I was really kind of shy and couldn't imagine myself preaching, but the Lord has helped me over the years to develop in that way. So assess your gifts and talents. And number three, develop with God's help the gifts that the Holy Spirit has already distributed to you. In other words, prepare yourself. I know that as I look back on my life, I mean, I can look at my life because it's who I am, and I have that, you know, in my heart and mind, just as you have your own life in your heart and mind to talk about. But I know when I was about 11 years old, I suddenly decided one day I wanted to play the guitar. And so I found a guitar at a garage sale, $60 for a Gibson guitar that today is worth about $1,000, and I wish I wouldn't have sold it. But anyway, I paid $60 for this little guitar that I found there, and I began to take some lessons. I didn't know the first thing about playing the guitar, but I knew the Lord put that in my heart. And so all during junior high, 7th grade, 8th grade, 9th grade, and part of my sophomore year, every Tuesday night at 5:30, I went to Paul's house. Paul Tharp was a teacher there in Eden. I went and had a one-hour guitar lesson for 4 years. And, you know, it's amazing how much that guitar has been a part of my ministry the last 40 years. I'm not a super guitarist by any means, but it has been a blessing in nursing home. I know when I first got my first youth pastor job, we didn't have anybody to play the piano, didn't have any musicians, and so I had my guitar, and that was how we sang and worshiped the Lord, was I led with my guitar. And so, but I had to prepare myself. I couldn't just do, now I've heard of people, you've heard of where they just sit down at the piano and they just begin to play. Those people just make me sick. No. No, I think that's an awesome gift. I've heard of people, and you have too, that they just sit down and it just, boy, they just flowed out of them. I think George Graham's nephew, in Gathan, kind of that way. He just played from the beginning. He's a beautiful pianist. But most of the time, that's not what happens. Most of the time, you have to develop that gift. And I'm just using the example of guitar. It could be whatever gifting you have. It's going to take some time. I know when the Lord called me to the ministry, you know, that was in 1980. I told you 40 years ago at the altar and apologized to the guy. Story last week. But you know what? I didn't start being in the youth pastor a few years later. And then I didn't become a pastor, which I knew the Lord put on my heart, until 13 years later. You know, there is a preparation time. You know, God called Moses to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt when he was 40. And then the Lord sent him to the backside of a desert for 40 years. He didn't actually start fulfilling his call until he was 80 years old. And so there's a preparation time. The Apostle Paul, after he was saved on the road to Damascus, and Ananias prayed for him and he was filled with the Spirit, then he went away for 14 years. And the Lord prepared him, and then he came back. And so there is a timing and a preparation time for you to prepare yourself in whatever gifts. And some gifts take more time than others. And that leads to number four, be patient. Be patient. Ministry and leadership is a process, and many times it takes months or years of preparation, as I just said. I remember I preached my first sermon in the spring of 1981. The Lord had called me the summer before in 1980. In the spring of 81, my pastor at my home church in Enid called me and said, Steve, would you come and preach on Sunday morning? I said, I've never preached before. He says, but you have a calling on your life to preach, right? I said, yeah, I'm preparing for that. He goes, well, I want you to come and preach. I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. I started praying. Fasting, Lord, help me. And so finally I come up, and I have all the sermons I've ever preached. They're all in notebooks in my office. So I could pull this out of my file. Never ending love, based on Romans chapter 8, the last part of that chapter, where nothing can separate you from the love of God. That was basically my text. And so I get in my 1978 Mustang II, and I drive to Enid from Oklahoma City early Sunday morning. I pull into the church parking lot, look down at my odometer, and it says like 42,666 miles and 6/10. I said, devil, you're just trying to discourage me, and it ain't going to happen. So you know what I did? I got back in my car, and I drove around the church praying for the next few minutes, and I got that 666 off my odometer. I know that's crazy, isn't it? But, you know, that was nearly 40 years ago now. And so it takes patience. If you're not doing what you would see that maybe God had his hand on your life to do, just be patient and do whatever he puts in front of you. Do it with all your heart. And that's number five. Be humble and do whatever you can do to help, and you never know where that will lead. You never know where that will lead. You know, God says to be faithful over a few things, and I'll make you ruler over many things. There have been some people, oh, the Lord's called me to a great pulpit ministry. You know, and oh boy, pastor, would you let me preach in the pulpit? Well, not today, but you know what? Thursday we have a vacancy at the nursing home, and we need somebody to go, oh no, I can't do that. That's child play. That person will never make it. You do what is in front of you and what is asked of you to do, and let the Lord promote any further development in your ministry. And so be humble. Be humble and do whatever you can do to help, whatever way you can. Number six, try different areas. If you're saying, well, I don't really know what I'm supposed to do, try helping in an area of interest. You think, well, man, you know, I think maybe I would like to help with the Royal Rangers. You know, I like hanging out with boys, and I like going camping and stuff like that, and I think I could help some young men. And then get in there and try it. And you might think, man, this is awesome. You know, I remember back up a minute. You don't have to wait till you're 59 or 60 or 70 years old to get involved. Do it when you're young. I think back to my junior boys Sunday school teacher. He turned 80 this year. Here about a month or so ago, I called him up. I had his phone number. I said, hey, Paul, happy 80th birthday. He said, Steve, you remembered. I said, well, your Facebook friend, and it came up. I wouldn't have remembered otherwise. But I definitely wanted to call you and not just post happy birthday. I wanted to say thank you. And I told him, thank you, Paul, for being my junior boy Sunday school teacher. And I thought, he's 80. That means we started attending that church when I was 10. So he was 31 years old. 31. And he was teaching the junior boys class, and we went on campouts. And I remember different things he did. And his, more than anything, I don't remember much of what he said. I remember his love. I remember his love. I remember his concern and his and his prayers and some of the camp out. I just remember how he affected my life. Later on, I had a youth pastor that when I was 12 or 13, he would have been about 35. Now, and I think about this. What if these guys would have said, oh, I can't do that? What if Glenn, he was my youth pastor, Glenn Duncan, if Glenn would have, you know, he was a carpenter. He built houses for a living. What if when the Lord spoke to him about working with the youth at Abundant Life Temple, he just said, I don't have time for that. I'm just trying to raise a family. He had three daughters. You know, I'm building homes. He goes, I'm tired. I don't really want to go every Thursday night and hang out with the youth and have to prepare all week. What if he'd have said no? He would have never affected me, and he had a great effect upon me. He always told me, Steve, the Lord's got his hand on you. Even as a teenager, he said, I don't know what the Lord's going to have you do, but he's got his hand on you. And he'd always pray with me at the altar. I think about these people, that what if they'd said no? What if Paul would have said, no, I don't have time to teach junior boys. I just want to come in the sanctuary and get there and just sit back, and I don't want to do anything. Some people like myself and some other few boys in that class would have missed out. So, you know, if you get involved in a ministry and you find out it's not your thing, go try something else. Number seven, and this is important. And Audra kind of alluded to this too in her presentation. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled and keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. She said she was baptized in the Holy Spirit. She was 8 years old. And I think that was probably a large part of the Lord preparing you and your preparation for what you're doing now. I see the same thing with me. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit when I was 16. And I don't believe I would be standing here today if it hadn't have been for that further act of God's grace in my life and in my heart. And so you need the anointing to do whatever you do. We sang that fire earlier, Lord, set a fire down in my soul. You need that anointing that's called unction. We talked about this not long ago. You need the unction to function. Function without unction gives you an F. Elena printed that off, and it's in my office to remind me that function without unction. In other words, doing your ministry without the fullness of the Holy Spirit, you get an F grade. It doesn't work as good. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. I think about the guys in the book of Acts, like Philip and like Stephen. They weren't pastors. They weren't apostles. They were Spirit-filled deacons. And the Lord used them mightily, did signs and wonders, and they preached and saw thousands saved, and they weren't even what you would call called to the ministry. They were deacons that served tables, but they also got excited about Jesus. I want to tell you, there is power in the pews just like there's power in the pulpit. Sometimes we underestimate the power that's in the pews. We think, well, all the power's got to be up here. The pastor has to bring all the power, and if he doesn't do it, then vote him out. Let's get rid of the pastor. Let's try a new pastor. You know, it could be that the pews are just as much as responsible for the moving of the Lord and the power and the effectiveness of the church as the pastor is. And I'm not saying that because I'm worried about somebody, you know, oh, we got an election coming. No, I'm not saying that. I don't even know. The point is, it takes all of us. It takes all of us. It takes everybody functioning in their gift. And lastly, number eight, if you have questions about what you could do, come see me or Pastor Phil, Pastor Chad, or some of the ministry leaders. We have some awesome ministry leaders. Go and talk to them. Say, hey, what is it like working in the nursery? You know, what is it like playing on the worship team? What is it like, you know, doing whatever? Find your place. I assure you, God has a calling for you, and he wants you to use the gifts that he's given you, and he will use you to make a difference. Amen. In conclusion, I want to say in closing how much I appreciate all of you who are week week in and week out, involved in faithfully involved in a ministry, Sunday school, nursery, doing maintenance, cleaning, mowing, cooking meals, taking people to the doctor, working with youth, working with kids, playing on the worship team, singing, making hospital calls, preparing funeral dinners, doing the, we, since this virus, we've started a new ministry of the live stream. These guys up here on the cameras each week. People in the sound booth doing the sound and the computer. It takes a lot of people to get the gospel out and to get people hearing the word of the Lord. And I just want to say thank you to all of you. Those of you who volunteer to do what you do. It takes everybody doing their part for the church to be effective. What's that old statement that says, teamwork makes the dream work, right? It takes a team. It takes a team. I've always thought, and I've told my son, we go to all the Noble Bear football games and help video the games and stuff. And every day, every game, at the end of the game, they give an MVP award to the person that's had the they feel had contributed the most. And usually, not always, usually it's a quarterback or a running back or something like that, or a receiver that gets it. But I told Caleb the other day, I said, you know what? If it weren't for that line up there, they wouldn't do nothing. I think every now and then, Brother Isaac, good job. I think he's playing on the line. You know, I think maybe giving that lineman a game ball every now might be a good idea. Because without some of those guys, they wouldn't do anything back there. It's always certain people seems like get more of the limelight than others, but it doesn't mean that the whole team and the position each one has is not important. Right now, you see my hands and you hear my voice and you see my face, but I'm pretty glad that my stomach's working right now. You don't see it. I'm glad my heart's working and my liver. You know, there's in a church, there's people that are not always seen. They're kind of behind the scene people. Without them, your church would just go. Pfft. So we need everybody doing their part. One scripture in closing is this, 1 Corinthians 15:58. So, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord. For you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. When I was in high school, I had a high school Sunday school teacher. Her name was Orla Harbor. And I, you know, how many of you know that when you're younger, you always think people are a lot older than what they really were? You know, I thought she was like, you know, 80 or 90 years old back then when I was, you know, 15. She was still teaching school. She was a junior high English teacher in Enid at Emerson Junior High. But on Sundays, she was my high school Sunday school teacher. So she was probably only in her 50s. She's probably younger than I am now. That makes me think about some of these kids must think how old I am now. That's a scary thought. But you know, Orla Harbor, every single Sunday was faithful to be in her class, and she would send us notes in the mail on our birthday, or she would call us if we've been missing. I have a Bible in my office that she gave me when I graduated from high school. Those people made a difference. Don't think that what you do doesn't matter, because it does. God uses all of us that will say, Lord, here I am. What was it that Isaiah said? Here am I, Lord. Send me. Here am I. Is that your attitude this morning? We sang that earlier in the, one of the songs was talking about that. Here am I. I give my life. I sacrifice my heart and my life to you. Thank you, Lord. Father God, I thank you that we can take joy in doing your will. And Lord, I just pray right now, Father God, for those who may be here today who are watching online that may not know you as Savior. Lord, I pray right now for them. I pray that they would come to know you as Lord and Savior. That is the most important thing. The calling is secondary to a certain function in a church. The most important is knowing that Jesus has forgiven and cleansed from sin. So, Lord, if there's someone here today that doesn't know you as Savior, I pray that they come to you. Lord, if there's those today who are struggling with their call and don't know what calling they have, Lord, I pray that you begin to speak to them, that you'd begin to show them, that they'd be able to put some of these things we've talked about into action about finding their part in the body. And Lord, we pray for those today who may not be baptized in the Holy Spirit. We know that's such an important part of having the fullness of the Spirit in our hearts and lives to be able to function. Lord, I pray for those today who may not be filled with your Spirit, that they would begin to hunger and to thirst for that. And Lord, I just pray, because I know there's many here today that simply just want to draw closer to you. Lord, you said, draw nigh unto me, and I will draw nigh unto you. And I pray that every one of us in this room and watching by camera, by video, that that's our heart's desire is, Lord, I want to know you more. I want to draw closer to you. Lord, I don't want to walk with you from a distance. I want to walk right by your side. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. The worship team is going to come and sing, and it's an invitation for you to come and pray. We'll be around here at the altar. Let's have an old-fashioned altar service this morning. And let's come around these altars and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? What can I do? Or I need salvation, or I need filled with the Holy Spirit. As they sing, let's come and pray.
I know that you are.
so gracious, so merciful and true, so powerful in all you do. You fill me.
Let's stand and sing that one more time. I know that
you are for me.
I know you are for me, Lord.
I know that you are
for
me.
You are for me.
I know that you will never forsake me in my weakness. I know that you have come now, even if to ride upon my heart.
For riding upon our hearts. Lord, because of what you've done in our hearts, we delight and take joy in doing your will. Lord, I just pray your peace, your blessing, your strength, your help, your anointing upon every single person in this place today. Lord, let us leave here today with a new desire in our hearts to be all that we can be for you. Fill us with your Spirit. Let us follow your word. And let us be filled with your joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. God bless you. Have a great day.